In a few minutes, the physical dangers of temp work. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. India's new Prime Minister Narendra Modi is set to lay out his first budget today following his landslide victory at the polls in May. Now, he's expected to propose reforms that could help revive the country's economy and jumpstart development there, but will it be enough to make India a more attractive place to do business as for foreign companies and investors? Shannon Mullen reports.
Remember when those floor vacuuming robots came out back in 2002? Scott Miller led iRobot's R&D in India, where he says he navigated bad roads, corruption, and time-consuming piles of paperwork.
You know, schedule is everything. If you miss the main holiday season, you have to wait another year, and that can have a profound impact on your revenue.
Now Miller's CEO of Dragon Innovation, which guides hardware companies from prototype to high-volume manufacturing. He says he'd love to go back to India if it gets easier to make things there.
Having as many people as India does, it could be a very credible alternative to China.
Many analysts are optimistic the Modi government will be able to attract more foreign investment. John Derrick is head of research at U.S. Global Investors.
We've definitely seen the financial markets react very positively to his election. And so I think we're just waiting to see if he can, you know, walk the walk as well as talk the talk.
Derrick adds, for Prime Minister Modi, it could be a long walk. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
Some members of the U.S. Congress are signaling they are not inclined to intervene in a public sector labor dispute that could wallop America's largest city. Workers for the Long Island Railroad that feeds New York could strike as early as July 20th. Yesterday, the head of the railroad went to Washington to assess the mood. The LIRR is the busiest commuter line in America. In Britain today, more than a million public sector workers are expected to strike in a series of disputes with the government there over pay, pensions, and workload. For more on that, we turn to the BBC's Jonathan Frewen in London. Jonathan?
Well, David, firefighters, teachers, civil servants and council workers have pledged to take part in industrial action today. Angry that their pay was frozen for 2 years in 2010 and that wage rises have been pegged at 1% for the last 2 years. The government has condemned the action, but unions say ministers are not engaging in meaningful discussions. The Prime Minister has said that he questions the legitimacy of these strikes because only a minority of union members voted for action, and he says the time has come for a change in the law requiring a certain percentage of people to take part in a ballot, otherwise industrial action would be illegal. Meanwhile, although the potential impact of teachers and firefighters going on strike is obvious, it's less clear how much of an impact civil servants striking for a day will have, other than the workers themselves losing a day's pay. And the government may have a wry smile about that, since it will also go some way to reducing the UK's still substantial budget deficit.
Jonathan Frewen at the BBC, thanks. Now let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.75% now. Dow, S&P and NASDAQ futures are down in a similar range. We know that people who do temp work or so-called casual employment inherently lack job security, but there's new evidence that temp work, especially blue-collar temp work, can be especially dangerous. By one estimate, about 3 million people do temp work in America, and reporters at the Spanish-language broadcaster Univision have been looking into this. Tomas Ocaña is special correspondent in the investigative unit at Univision News. Tomas, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So you're looking into this issue. What prompted you to want to look at this further?
We found out, as you said, that there are 2.9 million temp workers. They have no health insurance, no holidays, no sick days. And we also found out that they are more likely to get injured. Because when an accident happened and a temp worker is injured in the job, the warehouses blame the agencies. And then the agencies, they argue, well, I'm not with the worker. I cannot take care of him. Actually, we talked to a former manager of an agency, and he asked us not to reveal his information, but he explained to us that that's exactly the reason why the companies hire temp agencies, because they get cheap labor and they don't have to give them benefits or take care of them.
Tell me about what your investigation found when it looked into what happened at a sugar plant in Pennsylvania.
We followed the case of Janio Salinas. He came to the United States in 1990, as lots of immigrants did, and he was hired through a temp agency, and he died buried in sugar.
He died buried in sugar.
He was unclogging the sugar because the sugar gets stuck, and they go on the top of the sugar to unclog it, and something that they shouldn't do. We talked to the regional manager of OSHA, and we found out that not even the Department of Labor has been there in the factory after the accident.
Now, so many of us turn to temp work by choice. Others are forced into temp work. But it's your sense that dangerous temp work disproportionately affects Latino workers?
The majority of the temp workers are Latino. We talked to lots of them. They're mainly Latinos because if you're undocumented, you're not going to go against the company. You're not going to say anything. And that's the sad part. That's they're taking advantage of that.
Tomas Ocaña is a special correspondent for Univision News' investigative unit. Its work on conditions involving temp workers was done in association with ProPublica. Tomas, thank you.
Thank you very much.
In a world of temps, underemployment, and long-term unemployment, it's interesting to note the views of one of America's most powerful economic policymakers. James Bullard, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, thinks the U.S. may have to start raising interest rates earlier rather than later next year. In an interview with Bloomberg News, Bullard is suggesting that we are now very close to what he sees as full employment. It's 6.1% now. He sees 6% even as the point where enough people are employed that wages and therefore prices go up. Officially, the Fed's unemployment target is something in the 5 to 6% range. It's sometimes lost up in the stratosphere of macroeconomics that if you are a person who needs a job, you want to see a personal unemployment rate of zero. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.